In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear Father, and dear friends, 2 weeks ago I spoke to you a little bit about the reasons why we do penance. Remember that? You've forgotten it, no? The three reasons. The one is we do it out of penance for sins. Number two, to make our souls beautiful before God. And three, the most perfect of all, that we may become imitators of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then last week I spoke to you a little bit on how to do penance, that is to say, not the acts, but what disposition you should have, a great love for Almighty God. Don't do it for the world or for some competition's sake or etc. But now I want to speak to you a little bit about a very important part of the spiritual life that seems to me will help you very much, because we forget so quickly. You make a resolution, especially the resolutions at the retreat, remember them? No, you've already forgotten. We keep the resolution short time and then we forget. We make a plan that we're going to do this or that penance and then a little while and we forget. And 5 to midnight, you remember, oh, you didn't say your morning prayers even yet. So what practice can we do to help us to remember? Dear friends, I give you simply the advice that the church has always practiced, and even in the Old Testament they practiced it, and that is to always live in the presence of God. To live in the presence of God. Already in the book of Genesis, we see how God commands Abraham, saying, "Always walk before my face." And Job, you know, Job in the Old Testament, who was struck by God, says, "I always keep the Lord before my eyes." And there are so many passages in the book of Psalms that speak about the presence of God. In the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, he goes through a whole long, long list of condemnations against the Jews because of this, because of that, because of this, because of that. And then at the end, the last line is, "And all of this because you have forgotten me." Oh. So the presence of God. Let me give you a little image. I've all seen the moon. Yeah, right, the moon. We know that the moon does not have its own light. It reflects the light from the sun. Now, when the earth is not between the moon and the sun, we have full moon. It's beautiful. It's light. You can even walk in the dark and see. But the more that the earth comes between the sun and the moon, the more it goes half moon, quarter moon, and if it goes complete, then it becomes an eclipse. And it's pitch dark. So the same thing in the spiritual life. If you live in the presence of God, that is to say the sun, the image of the sun, the light of God shines in your soul, like the sun shines on the moon. The more that the earth comes between you and God, that is to say the riches of the world, the fun of this world, the pleasures of this world, and all these glories of the world, the more it comes between you and God, the more you are obscured. And if it's totally between you and God, you are in the black. So you see, that little image helps us to understand how important it is to live always in the presence of God. Now, of course, your next question is, how? How do I practice that? Now, I don't mean to contradict the saints. St. Francis de Sales used to say the saints are always to be admired, but they cannot always be imitated. Now, the saints have had in the past, many great saints, the practice of using their imagination to imagine our Lord Jesus Christ crucified, or our Lord in his passion, or our Lord even in his public life, or in the crib of Bethlehem. So they were using their imagination to help them to bring what they could not see to light so that they may always live in this presence of God. Now, that is, of course, very, very beautiful. But alas, you and I, unless you are a saint, then you can leave. If you're not saint, stay. Alas, you and I have difficulty in doing that. And why? Because it's hard work on the imagination. These saints have been able to do so. But you and I, normally we have our image fixed for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then it's finished. Then it's gone. And if you're very good, you could have it for one day, perhaps, or a week. But not very much longer. So, there you are. You lost again the image of God. You lost the presence of God. And now you're back into square one again. So what to do? Well, there are other advices given by the great saints. And this is this. That you live in the presence of God by your faith. By your faith. What do I mean? My faith teaches me that God is everywhere. Yes, everywhere. Even in hell. Otherwise, hell would not exist. Because if there was something outside of God, then how in the world would it exist without God? So God is everywhere. Of course, he's not in hell by his love. It doesn't show his love in hell, that's sure. In any case, that's not the subject. The subject is that God is present here with us, close by. He's present by his love. He's present by, ready to listen to you. You know that. You know that you can pray any place. And God is there to hear your prayer. It's a very beautiful reflection to know that God is close to us. St. Augustine, in his beautiful book on the Confessions, when he was converting, said, I sought thee, and I sought thee without, outside. And I could not find thee, and I did not realize that thou wast inside of me. Because God is everywhere, and he is certainly also in our souls, and more so, of course, if we are in the state of grace. So God is present. Now, you see, in this way, we do not have to, I shall say, tax the imagination, burden the imagination, always calling this up in mind, because let's face it, you have lots of duties to do in this world. And you don't have a stereo mind. You might think you have, but you don't. You can only think of one thing at a time. So, to keep the presence of God by faith is a beautiful thing. For example, you are at home. You love your husband, you love your wife, you love the children. And yet, isn't it true that you do not keep their image in your mind all the time? You are happy to be at home. You're happy that they are at home. You love them dearly. You continue your work. And yet you know that they are perhaps in the other room doing this or doing that. But what do? Every now and then you look out of the kitchen if you're there to look and see if the children are doing their work or studying or what they are doing and asking them, is everything okay? Or you go and see your husband or the husband goes and sees his wife. And why do you have that frequent little communications? Because of the great love that you have for each other. Now I say the same with regards to Almighty God. So the presence of God, you know that he's there. Let me give you another practical example, okay? You're washing the dishes. And as you're washing the dishes, you try and get this grime off the plate. And you say to our Lord, Lord, did you help Mary to wash the dishes? And then, oops, one moment, you didn't have dishes. Did you? Did you have dishes? How did you eat? And knives and forks? Lord, these knives and forks had so many of them to wash. Did you eat with your hands? So you have a heart-to-heart little talk with Almighty God, with our Lord, with the Blessed Virgin Mary, as you are doing your work. There is no taxing of the imagination all the time. There's simply that simple presence of God and the loving love to talk to him. And that brings me to the second part of the same act, and that is that there should also be from your heart a springing forth, a ejaculation of love for God. Ah, yes. How do you do that? Well, I'm sure you know how to do that with your neighbor if you love your neighbor very much. You love your wife or so. You often tell her that you love her. And when she's out and far away, you take your little cell phone and you say, honey, where are you now? Is everything okay? So you have that movement of love from the heart. How do you do so with God? Well, there's a very simple way to do it, and the saints have always practiced it. It's called ejaculatory prayers. It's a little short little expression of love in a few words. And they are very beautiful. They're not only beautiful because they come from the heart and they help us to be in the presence of God, but they are so short that you can never have the excuse of saying, I don't have the time. And nor can the devil get himself in between, because it's said before he even knows that you're saying it. The Irish have a beautiful saying that says, may you be in heaven a half an hour before the devil even knows that you're dead. A beautiful saying. It's very much to do with these short little prayers. Now be careful. Be careful. I'm not saying anything against long prayers. Long prayers are very beautiful and very important. But I'm speaking here of the habitual presence of God. The habitual act of the presence of God. So habitually you can't say long, long, long prayers. Every now and then during the day you would. But for the rest of the day, you can say these short little ejaculatory prayers. They call them ejacta in Latin, means to shoot forth, to come out, to throw out. And so they are thrown out from your heart. Which thoughts? You have the four acts of religion. You know your catechism, don't you? The four acts of religion, which is adoration, petition, thanksgiving, and saying sorry. These are the four great acts of religion. And there we are. These are the four acts that come from your heart. As you're busy doing something, you say, oh, my dear God, thou art great. Thou art wonderful. An act of adoration. Well, the neighbor has said something bad, and you, before you know it, you said a bad word. And you say, sorry, Lord, sorry, sorry. Or there's a temptation that comes along and says, Lord, please, 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 no, 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 no. Or even in your daily life as you're driving along and trying to find a parking place, and there's no parking place, and you say, Lord, please, please, give me a parking place. And he doesn't give you a parking place. And then you know, you say, oh, thanks, Lord, that's a little penance that you're giving me. Now I have to walk so much further. But all of these things are a heart-to-heart speech with our Lord Jesus Christ, with Almighty God. And of course with the saints, because they belong to God, the Blessed Virgin Mary. So you see, it is so simple, so beautiful. None of you can say, I don't have the time, or I don't understand that. It is too simple. And yet, at the same time, in its great simplicity, it has made great saints. Great saints. Because if you live in the presence of God, you will not sin. It's like being in the presence of a very, very important person, and suddenly you are at your best behavior because of the important person. But what more important person is there than God himself? And that's why I say, and it is the imitation of Christ also that says, Son, keep thy eyes on thy last end, and thou wilt not sin. Keep your eyes upon God, live in the presence of God, and you will not sin. And that's why I say to you that this beautiful practice of the presence of God is so beautiful, so easy, and yet so important. So, my dear friends, if you do not understand what I've said to you, then you need to turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and you ask of her to help you, to explain to you these things, and ask her to help you to live always in the presence of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.